take your Bibles while we remain standing. Let's pick a text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. If you are there, we are going to the Word. All scripture, not some, correct? Hallelujah. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, to achieve what? That the man of God, the woman of God, the child of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Therefore, no scripture is written for writing sake. No scripture is written for writing sake. Let's read again. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy again, chapter 2 and verse 15. That is why it is important, Apostle Paul told Timothy, and he's telling every one of us, because every scripture is scripture to Timothy, is scripture to every believer. Prophecy for one is prophecy for all. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Jesus says so. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Every story in the Bible, every story you see, there is something that we have to learn. And always remember, I have told you, every mystery we study, every mystery that God grants us understanding, the evidence that you understand is it will reflect in your relationship with God. Understanding God reflects in your relationship with Him. And always remember, to whom much is given. Much is not only required but demanded. He cannot give you all this revelation that we are having in this end time and not expect, you know, a commensurate lifestyle that will reflect what you know. The more you know Christ, the closer you get to Him, and the more you become Christ-like, and the sweeter your Christian life becomes. That's why the Bible said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And imagine somebody that we say that the message that we have now, the what God is doing now, is only for those who have heard the shout. They don't believe anymore in evangelism. And I'm telling them, he said, God, to them, God has finished self-saving. He's now in the ministry of perfection. He said, just one here, one here. But you think there will be any massive revival that people will come? He said, there's nothing like that anymore. You are sitting down there like Elijah. You think you are the only one. The book of life is still open. It's not closed yet. That's why Christ has not come. Christ has not come. Amen. He's not waiting for us to be perfected. He is waiting for the last one to come in. Christ is not waiting for perfection. The work of perfection He will do it pia once you have received the Holy Ghost. But his problem is those who are still out there. That is why he has not stood up from the mercy seat. His mercy is still available now. And in case you are hearing me, you say one here, because only one here come to you. When you have nothing to make a sin and repent. But I can tell you that last year alone, one crusade in Cameroon, almost 400 people gave their life to Christ that day. Hallelujah. And I went to Akwanga, where it's dominated by Baptists, Ekwa, Koki, ERCC, and all these other, what we call Orthodox churches. And we went there, and hundreds gave their life to Christ. Hundreds! And then somebody is saying that, no. God is still saving. Don't sit down there. Go out and tell them Jesus is alive. And when there are beer parlors still striving, there's a nightclubs I pass on my way to church every time in the evening. Full, no parking space. You are saying, God, look, there are children of God there that are dancing naked there. There are children of God there that are drunk, coming for hangover. What is the evidence? I was there too. I was there until he reached down his hands for me. When he reached down his hands for me, I was lost and undone without God nor his son. When he reached down his hands for me. Glory be to God. When we want to look at the Bible revelations, mysteries that God has caused us to understand in this age, there is a demand placed on it. In the way you carry out your Christian life, we should be better and better and better. And I'm happy that I'm hearing a lot of testimonies for people who are connecting online, that they call themselves online members. Praise the Lord. The book of Revelation, amen. We have tried to look at the book of Revelation because it is a book reserved for the bride of Jesus Christ. Take note of something. From the first church age until this last church age, there has been no attention drawn to the book of Revelation. Go to the bookshops, you will not see anything. There is only one preacher that has attempted to go to the book of Revelation. That is the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist, that woman, Ellen G. White. She is the one that attempted to go there at her own time. Another person that has gone and tried to do a good job of it is Clarence Larkin, that Baptist theologian that did a good work on it. And William Branham referred so much to his teachings that has also helped him in putting things together for the bride to have a proper bearing. But generally, you will not see that the book of Revelation is a book where you can go to the bookshop and say, please, where is the book on Revelation? Nobody went near there. It is because it's a book that is not for everybody. Listen, and when I say this, it's not pride. I am saying this because I have Bible reference. Why would Jesus Christ be speaking about things of the kingdom, things of eternal life, and be speaking in parables? Can't he speak plainly? Why does he choose to speak in parable? There's a reason for it. And you see, these are the things that that when you catch a revelation of somebody who says is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, also a Christian, and maybe he's even a reverend doctor, and even has a large followership, and is popular and is, you know, well accepted by everybody, then you go with a simple revelation from the Bible and you notice he cannot see it. Now what it does is, it doesn't make you to be proud. It makes you appreciate God. And it quickly makes you know that you are special. And if you are special, then you should act in a special way. You should live a life that reflects how special you are. The son of a king, the prince of any kingdom, who knows that he's the heir apparent while his father is on throne, anything that happens, he's the one that takes over. You don't see him in a beer parlor with common people. He is something, there's something special about him. He watches what he does. Because there is something, a knowledge he has. Oh, glory be to God. That makes him act the way he acts. There are certain things he cannot do. And so it is with the group of people we call the bride of Jesus Christ in this age. So when I come, you know, because generally in the end time message, generally, what I personally observe is that knowledge has puffed us up. Pride has taken over. That's why some of you cannot win souls. Because you go there to display pride. Which church do you belong? Catholic. Oh, I pity all of you. Why? Do you know that the Antichrist is the Pope? The evangelism is that too. You know you are not evangelizing. Were you really saying that for the person to see what you are saying? Or you are there to create fight? Then when the person fight you, slap you, then you say, oh, the Bible says we shall suffer for Christ's sake. That is not the type of suffering. You are suffering for foolishness' sake. Somebody just by the life you live should want to come close to you. That's why William Branham made that statement. He said, don't preach me a sermon. He said, leave me a sermon. By the life you live, I will come to find out what is the secret. And the sermon begins. Praise the Lord. A man gave a testimony one time in a businessman fellowship. And I was there several years ago. I was in that meeting. So we had to put a matter. And he told us, he was the managing director, as at the time he was giving that testimony, at that time he was the managing director of a finance house, a big finance house in Lagos. And he said he was a Muslim. And he gave his life, he met his wife in England when they were studying. And they married over there in England before they moved over to Nigeria. But the wife was a Christian. And he said, well, they didn't care about religion, so, you know. But after he married, when he came back, he became, you know, living in a very funny life by his testimony, drinking up and down, going from clubs, carrying women, you know, move anyhow. Then he will come home drunk, and then he will beat the wife again on top. And the wife was from a very wealthy family. But she was a Christian. He said he would kick her out, beat her seriously. Then when in the morning the effect of the beer wears out, he will expect to see the wife to report him, fight will start. Said the wife will come and take care of him. I say, I know you don't mean to do that, honey. I love you. I'm praying for you. He will turn again. Pray for who? Pray for yourself. Then he said, he started feeling condemned. And so he would deliberately go to beat that woman. He will do it, he said, he will come, pretend as if he's drunk. And then he will beat the woman and send her out and lock the door. He said, the woman will sleep in the balcony outside. Won't even go to the neighbors. Sleep there, and in the morning, he will open the door to see her. She will stand up. He said, honey, I love you. I know you don't mean to do that. He said, he will look. I never beat you well, that's why. He said, unknown to him, the woman was dropping prayer point to all the prayer groups and prayer warriors and friends in the church. Well, he said, and that is why I remember that story now. He said, one day, a family friend of theirs was having a wedding, and they were invited. He said, and it's a Christian wedding. He said, when he got there, he noticed everybody was happy and cheerful. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They were hugging themselves. Hallelujah. And the atmosphere was an atmosphere of joy and peace. And he sat down and he was looking at them. That this peace these people have, I don't have it. This joy these people have, I don't have it. What is the secret? And that was his beginning of his search for the secret of the joy of a believer. And then, from there, one thing led to the other, he gave his life to Christ. He came crying to his wife to forgive him for all that he had done. And the wife told him, he said, I knew you were not the one doing it. I knew it was the devil fighting my faith. He said, it was a challenge to my faith. And I was ready to confront this situation. And I knew to confront it would not be by fighting you. It would be by praying for you. And the truth is, you can't hate somebody you are praying for. Anybody you have committed to the hands of God, it will reflect in the way you relate to that person. Now, I am trying to say, with the level of Christianity that she knew, see what she displayed. No wonder the Bible says, love conquereth all things. She patiently endured by a revelation, because without the true revelation, you can't produce that type of Christianity. Church, the Lord expects nothing less from the abundance of revelation we have. We have tried to let us know the difference between Ishmael and Isaac. And then you are placing yourself now as Isaac. It is not just a name, it is a life to live. Praise the Lord. Now we will continue to bring these things out to believe that. For that is the reason why God put this in the scriptures. Another book, just like the book of Revelation, that you don't see anyhow in the bookshop, is the book of Daniel. And there are things deep there for us to know, because it's there for instruction unto righteousness. So, what are we in this age supposed to learn by that from the book of Daniel? So, we will just introduce it, because we are going to take it chapter by chapter, and this is 12 chapters. We'll look at what is the picture being created there, and how are we supposed, you know, to respond to such revelation. Remember that before the coming of the Lord, he said he will come as the latter rain. There is the former rain and there is the latter rain. The latter rain is the rain that prepares for the harvest. The latter rain, therefore, is the rain for perfection. The latter rain has gone beyond miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders is the second pool. The latter rain is the third pool. Hallelujah. And that is the last one that catches the fish. And when you come down, then after they catch the fish and come, then there is a sorting out time. And it is the word of God you use to sort out. One thing the word of God does is, in a place like this where the word of God is, every seed will manifest which type it is. Here. Every seed in our midst will manifest which sort it is. How can you say you are a true seed of God and you're not interested in Bible study? You're not interested in studying the word, either in the church or in your privacy. So that it is time now to know where your attention is determined by your origin. For we are all mixed multitudes. This, the latter rain, is the ministry of perfection. And it is the revelation of the word. It is the opening of the word. And may we have listening ears today in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we go to the book of Daniel. And please, this sister read very well for me last week. So can you read again? Daniel chapter 1. Let's just get the full story. Let's read the two chapters. Chapter 1 and chapter 2. And let's get the picture there.
Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 1, I read from verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding, and science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defy himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defy himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Meza, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. 14. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah therefore stood there before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus.
Thank you very much. Be seated for a while. Amen. Now that's just the overview of what we want to look at, the beginning of the study of this book of Daniel. This is the background. Years back, Jeremiah had given a prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 25. Can we read it? So that those who don't read the Bible can know the story for the first time. Go and start it from verse 1. Read it up to verse 11.
Jeremiah 25 verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Joachim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, that which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord had come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but you have not hearkened. And the Lord has said unto you, all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord has given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and that will do you no hurt. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that you might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my word, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and an hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. And this nation shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
How many years?
70 years.
How many years? 70 years. And like all prophecies concerning judgment, most of them will last for some time. And almost everybody will forget the prophecy, but God watches over his word to perform it. He waits to see whether there will be repentance. And that is what was revealed in Daniel chapter 1, in the verse 1. It fulfilled in the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah. He said, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Joachim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Isaiah also gave another prophecy in Isaiah chapter 39. In Isaiah chapter 39, verse 5, 6, and 7. It was the same condition that Israel found themselves under the king Hezekiah. Then said he, verse 4, what have they seen in thy house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in my house have they seen, There is nothing among my treasure that I have not shown them. Okay, verse 5, my emphasis. Then said Isaiah to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And verse 7, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and there shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And if you go to Daniel chapter 1, see where it was fulfilled. From verse 3, it says, and the king, that's King Nebuchadnezzar now, spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel. He was very specific. And of the king's seed, the seed of the king, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they, the eunuchs now, might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The language they spake in Babylon was Chaldea. The language of the Chaldeans was the official language in Babylon. And so, the prophecy to be fulfilled, Nebuchadnezzar came and invaded Judah. That is the two tribes that constituted, that were known as Judah. Remember, Christ is known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We all know that in history. And when they caught everyone in captivity, this group of people that the king told to go and look for, so that they will come into, you know, Babylon, the king's palace, and serve there, he needed gifted people. He needed people that were filled of wisdom. Remember that he didn't know anything about the gift of prophecy or anything. All they know is astrology. All they know is incantation. All they know is they are magicians. Because they know of what benefit it is, so that they can inquire and things like that. And among those that were caught were these four children that they caught. Daniel was among them, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azariah. Four of them. And history shows that during that captivity, Daniel and his other three brothers, even for that description, you can see that they were, you know, of the royal lineage. They were princes. They were children of a king. They were of the lineage of the king. They were special people. Take note of it. And that they were young. And that's why he would be comfortable with them. History shows that Daniel was just a little over 20 years when that took place. And the first thing that the king wanted, he handed them over to the keeper of the eunuchs, the one that prepares those special people. If you are going to work in a house, you are going to work in the palace of a king, then you'll be a eunuch. And when they say eunuch, you will then understand why he was comfortable with these little children, these young children that he caught, four of them. They were Jews. In captivity to fulfill his purpose. Hallelujah. The first thing he did, amen. Hallelujah. The first thing he did was to change their identity. He gave them Babylonish names. Babylonian names. For Daniel, he gave him the name Belteshazzar. Amen. Please take note of this. Daniel means God is my judge. In the Hebrew language. He changed it to Belteshazzar. And in the Chaldean language, it means Bel. I say, whom Bel favors. Bel is the name of one of their gods. Then, for Hananiah in the Hebrew language, it means beloved of the Lord. He changed it to Shadrach, which means in the Chaldean language, illumined by the sun god. And Mishael, in the Hebrew language, it means who is as God. He changed it to Meshach. In the Chaldean language, it means who is like Venus, one of their gods. And finally, Azariah, the fourth person now, in the Hebrew language, Azariah means the Lord is my help. He changed it to Abednego. And Abednego means servant of Nego. Nego is another god. So for each of the four gods, important gods to them, they are Nebuchadnezzar, Bel, the sun god, Venus, and Nego. He gave them names. He named those four Hebrew children, you know, after the names of his gods, supposedly to change their identity. The purpose of changing their names is to take them away, win them away. Like a writer says, it's winning them, win, to win as you win somebody from the breast, to win them away from their land and their religion, and get them to adopt the religion and habits of the hidden nation where their future now lies. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But take note that you can change somebody's name, but you cannot change the character of that person. Oh, glory be to God. Yes. A Jew is a Jew. A Hebrew is a Hebrew. Take note that of all the captivity, all the people that they took in captivity, we only hear so far these four names: Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The four of them. What of the other Jews? They had already blended into the system, but they were Jews. That lets me know, if we are going to learn anything from this story, we must bring it to the Church of Jesus Christ. It also lets us know that born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, Christians, hallelujah, hallelujah, we still find many of us that we fail in the trials, hallelujah, that we face by virtue of our present location. It happens. But these characters are supposed to be examples that we should follow. They are the requirement that God expects of every one of us. We are supposed to learn something from Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who we are taking captive. Not only that, you can see their story can be likened to that of Joseph. The story of Joseph and other characters in the Bible. Joseph was also a prisoner, but he was a Jew. And anywhere Joseph found himself, praise the Lord, he never forgot his origin. He never forgets his origin. Condition may place you anywhere, always remember that You are in this world, but not of this world. And that is very difficult for us to accept and follow. Joseph was a prisoner. And everywhere, notice his movement from Potiphar's house to the prison yard and all, he maintained something around him that stood him out special. He remembered his origin. Condition should not make you lose your origin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.